Our text today is from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. As we've been going through the book of Acts, one of the things we'll see is that there are times when the Holy Spirit will speak to a whole group of Christians at the same time and minister to them. For example, Pentecost, the Spirit of God came upon 120 and empowered them for witness. And chapter 13, there's a group of Christian leaders meeting at Antioch, and the Holy Spirit spoke to the leaders corporately and said, set aside Saul and Barnabas for a missionary journey. Then there are other times when the Holy Spirit speaks to a particular individual for an assignment that they have. Like in chapter 9, after Saul's conversion, the Holy Spirit speaks to Ananias and say, I want you to go and pray for Saul. And in chapter 10, the Holy Spirit gives Peter a vision. And then when Cornelius, the Gentile, sends some people to reach out to Peter, the Holy Spirit says, there's three men at your door, go with them. And our text today is another example of the Holy Spirit speaking to an individual believer, in this case, Philip the deacon, and puts him on what we would call a divine assignment. An assignment from the Lord for the advancement of the kingdom. The question that we're going to be looking at after I read this text is not whether the Holy Spirit still today speaks to individual believers or to groups of believers, because the answer is clearly yes. Rather, the question we want to kind of wrestle with is, how do we discern when we or I, individually or corporately, are being spoken to by the Holy Spirit and discern what the assignment is, how to step into that. So let's keep that in mind as we hear the Word of God. I will read the last part of chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. Well, how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Wonderful story. And there are many more that are happening right today by this same Spirit of the living God. I want us to look at four principles of divine appointment. Jesus said that we, his followers, would be salt, the salt of the earth. Salt is spelled S-A-L-T. And the four principles we're going to be looking at spell out salt. S is Spirit-led. A is availability. L is listening. And T is teamwork. I'll say it again. S is Spirit-led. A, availability. L is listening. T is teamwork. Now, When we come to this particular passage here, I'm reminded how often it is in Scripture that there is a story that is clear enough what is happening. And as we pray, the Spirit of God gives us an understanding as to what's being said to that, the principles or something that, you know, we're to obey or follow. But, you know, these also stir up the imagination. And we find ourselves, I know I do, and I think you do too, kind of filling in the blanks. Now, how we're filling in the blanks may not actually have been how it occurs, but we're just thinking through the story. I'll give you an example. Here is what we know about Philip in this story here. Before we get to chapter 8, we know this story from chapter 6, that as the church in Jerusalem grew, there eventually came an inevitable conflict and some distribution of the food to various widows. And the apostles prayed, and what they did is they raised up 7 deacons, we call them, 7 deacons who would then oversee this ministry. One of those deacons is Philip the deacon. And we know that after that, the Bible says there was a period of more growth in Jerusalem. The church was just blossoming. And then it happened. A real shockwave came to the church. Another one of the 7 deacons was Stephen. And he had a powerful ministry going in Jerusalem as he shared the good news about Jesus. But the Jewish leadership, the Sanhedrin, did not like this talking about Jesus. Remember, they've already warned the church, don't speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And the church has prayed. And the Spirit has empowered them to go ahead and preach in the name of Jesus. Stephen was doing that obediently. And the Sanhedrin hauled Stephen in before them, put him on trial. He gave a wonderful testimony about the Lord. And then they snapped. It finally happened. They had had enough. They took him out and they stoned him to death. And here's where, at least my imagination, I wonder. The Bible is silent on this. But where was Philip? Was he kind of in the background watching Stephen get stoned to death? We don't know. Was Philip maybe... Obviously, he heard about this right away. I mean, this news spread like lightning through Jerusalem. Was Philip thinking, oh, I'm a deacon too, and I've been preaching about Jesus. Am I next? Are they coming for me? Was he scared, or was he thinking, I'm ready to die for you, Jesus? We don't really know that. What we do know is 2 salient facts from the Scripture. Number one is that very day that Stephen was stoned, a great persecution was poured out on the church in Jerusalem. Many had to leave, and among those who left was Philip. The second fact that we know from the first part of chapter 8 is Philip wound up going north to the area of Samaria, an area where the people were traditionally very hostile to the Jews from Judea. But that's where he went. And he found favor. And as he preached about Jesus, many Samaritans came to faith in Christ. He had a robust ministry going on. And again, I go back to the imagination part. What was Philip thinking when he realized on that day of Stephen's stoning that he had to leave? What was he saying? Lord, what's going on here? Where do I go? Where am I? And we don't know how the Lord led him, but he wound up in Samaria. And once there, was he thinking, oh, this is scary, Lord. We know that the Samaritans don't like us. Or was he thinking, wow, Lord, here's a whole harvest field, a mission field here. And he undoubtedly knew the story about Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Maybe he was praying, Lord, do you have an assignment for me here in Samaria? My guess is that there was something along those lines, because we find from the rest of the biblical record, Philip was an evangelist wherever he went, as we saw in verse 40. And so he began ministering in Samaria, sharing the good news about Jesus, and lo and behold, there was a receptive group of people. There was signs and wonders. It was a wonderful ministry. And that's where we come to our text today. Because as Philip is going through this wonderful ministry in Samaria, an angel of the Lord comes and says, Philip, I want you to go down to the road south of Jerusalem, the road that leads to Gaza. And that meant Philip had to leave from the north, head down through Jerusalem, head down to the road that leads to Gaza. Now, we need to understand this road was like a I-5. I mean, it was an interstate. It was a main, heavily traveled road between Judea and down towards Egypt and Africa. And so there would probably be quite a bit of traveling, you know, camel caravans, individuals walking, and so forth. Now, again, imagine Philip's going down there. The angel has not given him more specific instructions other than go down to that road. So Philip might have just been walking along for some time on this road, you know, thinking, okay, Lord, I'm waiting for the next, you know, clue, you know, this treasure hunt that I'm on right now. Or I can picture him possibly getting down there and just sitting on a rock and praying and saying, okay, now what? What we know next is that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, spoke to him at a certain point when a chariot went by. Now, this chariot would have really stood out because it was an official chariot. You know, this Ethiopian eunuch was a high-ranking official from the queen, and so it would have been a pretty fancy chariot, probably pretty good. There were servants driving it, because later when the baptism occurs, the eunuch orders the chariot to be stopped. So he's not actually driving it, but there's others. And the Spirit says, go up to that chariot and stay by it. And did you see what he had to do? It says Philip ran. Because maybe that's why I get the picture. He's maybe sitting on a rock, and as this chariot goes by, that's when he senses the Spirit saying, go to that chariot. Okay, he has to run to catch up to it. What we find is that Philip is exhibiting those first two steps of the principles of divine appointments, Spirit-led and availability. Paul says in Galatians 5:25, keep in step with the Spirit. And we are told by Jesus that the Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us. So what we find is that Jesus says that my sheep will hear my voice, and he speaks to his sheep via the Holy Spirit. Now, how did the Holy Spirit speak to him when he said, go to that chariot? You know, sometimes the Lord may speak in somewhat like an audible voice almost. But I think much more often there's just when we are surrendered before the Lord and willing, there's these little nudges or the little, just the kind of the sense. And I can just picture Philip there, and he's watching, just kind of waiting, and he sees this chariot, and there is almost a little sense of electricity or just kind of, whoa, I think that's, you know, the Spirit was saying, that's the one. Spirit led. And then availability. Now, what I'm speaking of here is we all have routines, we have schedules, and a lot of times God has put us into it, that type of a schedule. But availability is a heart that is ready to let God bring adjustments. Think of Philip here. He's having a very successful ministry in Samaria. Things are going great. And he might have said to the angel, however the Holy Spirit was speaking through the angel, he might have said, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. I've got a great thing going here. But Philip probably knew from his master the very same thing. You read in Mark 1. And we find in Mark 1, Jesus went to Capernaum. He was... There is all sorts of ministry going on. There are healings, deliverances. People were being blessed, and it went right into the evening, and then everyone needed to go home, get some sleep. The next morning, the town gathered and wanted more ministry. There's more people needing ministry, and they're looking for Jesus. And finally, the disciples found him. What had happened? Jesus got up early in the morning and went out to pray. See, in John 5 or John 7, Jesus says, I always do what my Father tells me to do. And the Father would speak to Jesus through the Holy Spirit. There's a divine trinity there. And so Jesus always did the Father's will. And the Father had spoken. And so when they finally found Jesus, and the disciples said, hey, there's people are waiting back there. They're lined up for more ministry. And Jesus says, no, I must go preach the kingdom of God in other villages. And like Philip, the same thing. He had a great ministry going. Well, but now he's whisked off on the road to Gaza. Availability. I have, in my many years of walking the Lord, walking with the Lord, I can remember too many times when I've missed it. Looking back later, and I think there was a divine appointment, and I was too caught up in my schedule, or I just missed it. I wasn't really listening. But along the ways, and I imagine you can identify with that too, along the ways, there are times that I've learned by God's grace. A couple of years ago, Jeanette and I took the training at Genesis Project. We both really sensed that's what the Lord wanted us to do. And this is a ministry here locally that reaches out to women that are exploited in human trafficking, sex trade, and so forth. And we just sensed a call to that, to reach out to these who are in the dregs of life, and God wants to rescue the captive. So we had gone through the training, and especially I am kind of wondering, well, quite what is my role here? But there are several times that we have been involved with GP Products, Genesis Project. It always seems like, wow, that's the purpose God had. That's why we did this. So a couple of weeks ago, it was a Tuesday afternoon, Jeanette was looking at her schedule and realized that she could do some volunteering on Wednesday afternoon down at Genesis Project, just maybe helping out with some administrative things or whatever. So she called Denise, the staff person down there, and said she'd be willing to come in on Wednesday afternoon to help. And I knew that she was going to be doing that, but I didn't know the results till later Tuesday night, because I was up here and then we had youth group and I stayed for youth group. So when I got home from youth group, Jeanette said, yeah, I'm going in tomorrow afternoon to volunteer. But Denise asked, if you're available, could you come with me? And it so happened I didn't have anything I had to do that Wednesday afternoon. And I sensed right away, as Jeanette shared that this was from the Spirit, that I was to go. So I said, yeah, I'll go with you. And kind of like Philip, when he left Samaria, he was not told by the angel, go down to Samaria and here's the game plan. Here's all that's going to happen. He just knew that step. And then when the Spirit spoke to him, go up to the chariot, he only knew that step. You know, oftentimes when we are being led by the Spirit, He doesn't give us the whole game plan. He gives us a step at a time. We're called to obey. Okay, now we do this. And now we do this. Because God sees the whole picture even when we don't. And so the next afternoon, Jeanette and I went down to GP together. Now let's go back to Philip, because we're going to see another principle here. Philip obeys the Spirit on the next step. He goes up to the chariot, and as he does so, he hears this eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah. And my guess is that right away, at that point, Philip realizes, this is a Kairos moment. This is a moment ordained by God. This is why He's brought me down here. You know, of all things, here's this guy reading from the prophet Isaiah. And so then Philip asks the question, do you understand what you're reading? I think this is so insightful. We at Missions Fest last fall, quite a few of us who were there went to a workshop on asking questions. What a great way to open up the door, find out where people are at, create a spiritual curiosity. So Philip doesn't say, oh, hey, you're reading Isaiah. No, he says, do you understand what you're reading? Wow, open door. So the eunuch says, well, how can I unless someone helps me? And the eunuch must realize, this guy probably knows what I'm reading. So he fights him up into the chariot. Listening is a key principle of divine appointments. Listening to the Spirit, we continue to listen to what the Spirit is saying, but also listening to what others are saying, listening to the situation. What's going on? And as Philip got to that place, he sensed, this must be what the divine appointment's about. It's this man right here. Listening. When Jeanette and I got to the Genesis Project a couple Wednesdays ago, we went into the main area there, and Denise was there with another staff person, and two interns were there. So there's six of us, and we sat down, we were talking, and the first thing that they did was they were just bubbling over, because there had been a client who had come in. And when she first came in, she was really withdrawn and just kind of in fear. But over 11 days, she had blossomed like a flower in the spring coming out to open up her life to Christ. And she had written a letter. She was now in a recovery center, and a Christian recovery center. And she'd written a letter to the GP thanking them for sharing Christ's love and helping her get out of the pit. And so we heard that letter, and it was read, and we think, oh, praise God. But I'm still listening. Okay, that's great. But then Denise began asking some questions of theology. Because in the ministry they have to these clients, there were some theological issues that had come up. And that's why she'd asked Jeanette to bring me. Because they wanted the dialogue with me about this. And we had a very fruitful discussion, the six of us there, over some of the spiritual dynamics of what's going on. And then, God's timing, there was a knock at the door, and a client showed up. And so Denise opened the door and then took the client into a back room to kind of find out what the need was. So Jeanette and I began sharing with some of the other volunteers that had come in. And then in a little bit, Denise came out and she asked if we could come back and pray with this client. And we went back, and it was a holy moment. You know, this client had some very significant issues. And as we prayed, we just released her to the Lord and prayed over these issues. You know, we just listening. What does God have in store? Well, back to Philip. Here he is, interacting with this eunuch and over Isaiah. And what Philip does is he begins from that very passage, which is from Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant Jesus as Messiah, taking our sins upon himself. He began from that place and explained the good news about Jesus. And you can just see this discussion again in the imagination. You can see the two in the chariot and the eunuch getting more and more excited. You mean God really loves me? You know, God sent his own son to die for me? And as the discussion went on, they see a pool of water, and the eunuch orders that the chariot be stopped, says, why can't I be baptized? I'm ready to follow Jesus now. And Philip's all too eager for that, so they jump out and go into the water together, and the eunuch is baptized, comes up, follower of Jesus, surrendered, repented, beautiful scene. And then, surprise, the Holy Spirit whisks Philip away. And it says the eunuch didn't see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. And once again, we have my imagination goes to work. What was going on here? I mean, I can almost picture them. They're coming out of the water, and the eunuch says, oh, Philip, this is so wonderful. Thank you for... Philip? Philip? You hiding behind the chariot? You know... Where'd he go? Or it may not have been quite that magical. It may have been that Philip just knew the Spirit was saying, okay, your assignment's done. I want you to move on to Azotus. And Philip may have said, hey, I've got to go now. Holy Spirit's calling me away, but you know, you're going to grow in the Lord. He'll take care of you. See you later. And off he went, and they'd never see each other again, but the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. We don't know exactly how it happened, but we know the Spirit was directing Philip. But it does bring up a question. Didn't Jesus say in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations? Haven't we emphasized the importance of discipleship? It's not go and make converts, just get people saved and then leave them go. And yet, that's what seems to be happening. Here's this eunuch all excited. He puts his faith in Christ. And then Philip leaves. Who's going to disciple this guy? That's where the T comes in. Teamwork. Teamwork. God sees the bigger picture. We are a part of the big picture. We're not the whole picture. Each of us have a role to play as the Spirit leads us. Did you notice here why the eunuch was in the chariot in the first place? He had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was already seeking the true God. He was already a God seeker. Someone had already been working on his heart, sharing about this. Someone had already given him the equivalent of our Bible. It was the Old Testament. He was reading the Scriptures. So God had already put people in his path. Now Philip was sealing the deal. And God will bring others of the team to help nurture him, to where the Ethiopian eunuch himself would become a discipler of others. We, in any given moment, when we're at work or wherever we might be, in our neighborhood or with our family, anywhere around unbelievers, God may give us a word of encouragement. The Spirit may say, you know, I want you to pray with this person and do that. We may be on the early scale of they're just beginning to open up to the Lord. And the Lord has someone down here who's going to seal the deal as far as bringing them to faith in Christ. Or we may be the Phillips doing that after someone else has already had, there have been other people witnessing to them. We just do what the Holy Spirit leads us to do, wherever we might be on that scale. That was a meaningful time when Jeanette and I prayed there that Wednesday afternoon with this client. Both Jeanette and I were gone on Thursday afternoon when Denise called and left a message on our phone to thank us because already there had been an answered prayer, significantly answered prayer in that woman's life. And we could just rejoice. We'll probably never see her again this side of heaven. But, you know, for that one moment, that one day, we were a part of a teamwork of what God is doing in her life for the kingdom. As we come to the Lord's table, we already answered the question. The Holy Spirit is still at work in the lives of Christ's followers today. And we can be so thankful for that because we are used by the Lord. If we are open to being led by the Spirit, that sweet surrender every day, here I am, Lord, I'm your servant. Being available, listening to the Spirit and to what's happening, and knowing that we are a part of a big team. It's not all up to us. We just obey the steps the Spirit tells us to obey. But as we come to the communion table, this is a table open to all who put their faith in Christ. You don't have to be a member of our church or of our denomination. It's a faith-based response. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I trust in Him alone for my standing before the Father because of His shed blood. And I want us to recall one other phrase from this text. The eunuch happened to be reading from Isaiah 53 about Messiah taking our sins upon us, taking the injustice of dying that cross on that cross in our place. And it says that Philip, beginning with that passage, explained the good news about Jesus. Beginning with that passage, we begin with the crucifixion of Jesus. Without Christ crucified, there is no Christianity. There is no salvation before God. But we don't stop at the crucifixion because God didn't. He raised His Son from the dead with an immortal body and elevated Him through the ascension on high to sit at His right hand. We begin with the crucifixion. Christ died for us sinners, but He also lives for us. To renew us. And He sends His Holy Spirit to transform us. All of this, Philip was sharing the good news about Jesus. But it begins right here, which is why we continue again and again to come back to the Lord's table. We're going to take a time in a moment to pray and just get our hearts ready, available again for the Lord, how He chooses to use us. But we remember that on that night Jesus was betrayed. He took the bread. He broke it. He said, "This is my body broken for you." He was ready to go to the cross on our behalf. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Because it's through the blood of Christ and only through the blood of Christ that we are forgiven and made right with our Father and reconciled. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He wants us always to begin, be anchored in the crucifixion, and then from there recognize we have life as we put our faith in Him. Let's take a moment and let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts. You know, sometimes if we have been engaged in some obvious sin like bitterness and unforgiveness, we've spoken wrongly to someone or acted in some wrong way, you know, definitely bring that to the cross and ask forgiveness. But sometimes what we maybe really need to do in coming to the cross is just to confess to the Lord we really haven't been trusting Him alone. You're not aware of any particular, quote, sin, outwardly sin, but we also have not really been fully surrendered and available, trusting in Him and His greatness. Whatever it might be, let's ask the Lord to just purify, prepare our hearts to receive these elements of grace. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much. The psalmist says, if You, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Not one of us could. But it goes on to say, with You there is forgiveness, therefore You are feared. And that psalm ends with, You will redeem us from all our sins. Father, we want to thank You today for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, a gift that is immeasurable. Thank You for the grace, because we didn't deserve this and we haven't certainly earned it, but by Your grace we are saved through the blood of Christ as we put our trust in Him. Thank You for the forgiveness of sins as we brought them to the cross. And now we ask, Holy Spirit, You would consecrate these elements to their intended use as a reminder that it's by grace we've been saved, by grace we live, through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. The cup represents the blood of our Lord shed for the forgiveness of sins. And by that shedding, He brings us together as one body in Christ. People of different races, tongues, personalities, but united by faith in Christ. So please hold on to the cup till all have been served and we will partake together as one body in Christ. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of Me. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, I think this is kind of an exciting moment here, because I think You have some divine appointments in store for us. And so, Lord, we submit to You. We want to be like Philip, ready and willing. And our divine appointments probably won't be nearly as dramatic as His, but they will be just as significant in the kingdom of God. So, Holy Spirit, speak to us individually and corporately as we go forth from here. Maybe today, maybe this week, maybe a month from now, but let us be ready. Let us be listening. Let us do our part as a part of the team, the body of Christ, and sharing the good news of Jesus in a world that desperately needs that good news. So we look forward to it. Here we are, Lord. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Amen. Friends, may God be gracious to us and bless us that His ways may be known on earth, His saving power through Jesus Christ to all nations. To Him be glory now and forevermore. Amen.